It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Quarterback Outlook. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and today we're going to take a quick look ahead at the 2023 ranks for quarterback. That's right. It's never too early to start getting a game plan, and today we're going to get one for you. We're going to take a look at the top-tier quarterback, all the QB1s, maybe a little Superflex talk to, because quarterback in Superflex leagues this past year, it was rough. It was hard times, as the great Dusty Rhodes would said back in the day. But we're going to try to help you with all of that. We're going to have some fresh quarterback talent entering the league as well in 2023. Maybe that'll impact these early ranks as well. To help me break it all down, of course, Andrew Erickson and Pat Fitzmaurice. Before we get to the meat of the pod today, don't forget, everybody, we got a Super Bowl coming up on the weekend, and Betting Pros Podcast is here for you. Go to bettingpros.com/podcast or wherever you get your pods and subscribe today. We've got a lot of great coverage. We just did a fantastic preview show last week. That's running up there. We're going to have a lot of the 10 best bets for the Super Bowl, prop bet stuff. You name it, we got it when it comes to the Super Bowl and your betting lifestyle. So go to bettingpros.com to check it out. And again, listen to the pod, bettingpros.com/podcast, and subscribe wherever you get your pods. I know these guys got lots of pods, so many pods. Andrew Erickson, you've got a lot of podcasts. I know you do, because you have a lot of big pod energy. Let's start with you, Erickson. And the first question, the great debate, who's the number one quarterback in fantasy entering the 2023 season? Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, two very worthy candidates. Perhaps it's somebody else. But Erickson, who are you ranking number one and why?
I have Josh Allen ranked as my number one quarterback heading into next season. I still think that he has the rushing equity over somebody like a Patrick Mahomes. We see Mahomes really turn on his rushing later on during the season. And I think that the Bills are going to add another pass catcher. I think that we've run it back with ex-Gabriel Davis, Isaiah McKenzie, Jamison Crowder. Like, they need somebody else alongside Stephon Diggs to really get this team over the hump that they've been the last couple of years, basically losing out in the postseason. So I do expect Buffalo to make a splash either in free agency or in the draft, adding in another wide receiver. I think it's going to help Josh Allen go to the next level and continue to be that kind of number one ranked quarterback. Just looking historically, you know, people will compare his career to Cam Newton a lot of the time. I think it's a good comp. And Cam Newton was still putting up massive rushing numbers around 27, 28 years old, which is where Josh Allen is right now. So with the rushing, I think it's still Josh Allen for me.
Well, I hope they add a running back, because they need to really balance out this offense. That's what they need to do. But I digress. This is about quarterbacks. All right, Fitz, do you agree with Andrew Erickson? Is it just Josh Allen at the number one, as easy as that? Or is there another contender for that number one spot?
Yeah, for me, it's Josh Allen, too. I mean, he's been in the mid-30s with touchdown passes in each of the last 3 years. He's been over 700 rushing yards each of the last two, and the fewest touchdown runs he's ever had in a season is 6. So pretty good baseline for him. I wouldn't have a big beef with anyone who wanted to take Mahomes ahead of him, since Mahomes has actually had more fantasy points per game in two of the last 3 years. But I still agree in principle with Erickson that with the rushing equity, a little bit higher on Allen than Mahomes.
Very good. Obviously, Mahomes pretty consistent as well. What if Mahomes and the Chiefs get like a big splash wide receiver? Does that change the calculus for you at all, Pat?
They had one, Joe. They had Tyreek Hill. So
they did have one, but it was they could use another.
They could. And it was nice that Mahomes still had a big season, even without Tyreek Hill. And, sort of they struggled to have one receiver step up and be that one-for-one replacement. They didn't have that, but I kind of think it doesn't matter that much with Mahomes. He's just so good as a passer. He'll make anyone work.
Yeah, interesting, though. Mahomes did finish ahead of Josh Allen, 413 points to 389. He had 1,000 more yards passing, but Josh Allen had over 400 more yards rushing than Patrick Mahomes. So interesting stuff there to digest. Certainly both guys worthy of people's investments. Are you guys, Erickson, are you going to be an early investor in quarterback this year with that elite tier being clearly elite over the rest of this pack?
I think for me, it's kind of following a early round, late round kind of quarterback approach where I want to be the last guy to take one of the elite quarterbacks. Like, I don't think you're doing that's yourself very zen. Any.
I want to be the last yourself, or the first. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think that, I'm going to take this quarterback at the end of the second round. And then you see Jalen Hurts go in round 4. Like, you just made a bad bet by taking Mahomes, Josh Allen in round 2 when Jalen Hurts ran round 4, or you see one of these other elite quarterbacks, or, maybe in the tier below, whether it's like a Justin Herbert, someone that we've seen be a top 3 quarterback already. I want to wait until like the last guys available. I mean, Lamar Jackson, like he's someone that's going to be falling in drafts because of the bitter taste he left in people's mouths, but we've seen him rush for over 1,000 yards in a season and be the QB1 overall. So I'm going to take the guy that falls the most and draft most of him. And then obviously if other guys fall based on, who people prefer, I'm just going to try to look at the further. I think quarterback is still about value. I think it's still about value. And I think that waiting on an elite quarterback is going to be my approach.
Well, let's talk about Jalen Hurts since you created the perfect segue for me. Jalen Hurts actually had the most fantasy points per game of any quarterback, more than Allen, more than Mahomes, 26.8. And he also had more rushing equity than Josh Allen. He had 13 rushing touchdowns, twice as many as Josh Allen. So why isn't Jalen Hurts the QB1 going into next year?
Well, I have him as my QB2. So I do have him ranked over Mahomes because I think that he offers more rushing. And you could argue that Jalen Hurts probably has more longevity when it comes to rushing because he's younger and he's been doing it for less time than Josh Allen has been, basically being a battering ram for the Buffalo Bills. And you could argue he has better weapons too. So I don't go against anybody that has Jalen Hurts against above Josh Allen. And when you factor in his ECR and how much later he's going, then yeah, I'm going to draft way more Jalen Hurts than I'm going to draft Josh Allen. So I think that's a good point that you brought up there, Joe.
All right, Fitz, your thoughts on Jalen Hurts. Also, again, he missed 2 games there with the injury. In that last game of the season, did come out early in that game. So is Jalen Hurts in a situation where, let's say, things go really well in the Super Bowl, there's a lot of Jalen Hurts attention. Do you think Jalen Hurts could leapfrog these other two guys potentially if he comes out as Super Bowl MVP and people start to really dig into what he did last year?
Maybe if he really lights it up in the Super Bowl, if they add yet another wide receiver to give them like a dynamic trio. It's funny, Joe, I think there's been some sort of inherent skepticism about Hurts from a lot of people ever since Nick Saban threw him overboard at Alabama. But I think you have to say that Hurts is a better quarterback than Tua, and Saban just made a mistake. Like, Hurts had 8.0 yards per attempt this year. Like, he was right behind Patrick Mahomes in YPA and ahead of Josh Allen. I mean, he's had more rushing productivity than Josh Allen. So, I do think he deserves to be on that tier. Allen's done it just a little bit longer. But, they built a fantastic infrastructure for him. The Eagles have probably the best offensive line in the league. They've got 2 great receivers. They've got a good tight end. So I kind of think he does belong in that tier. And I honestly wouldn't have any problem with anyone taking him number 1 ahead of Allen and Mahomes.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see as we have more time to marinate on that situation. Or if maybe he doesn't have a good Super Bowl, he looks terrible. Does that really just kind of cement him as the clear number three guy? Some people like to overrate that one moment in time. After we get through the elite guys, we get to the top talent. And there's a lot of talent here. You got Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, who was just breaking fantasy for a few weeks there. Justin Herbert getting a new OC. We'll see what that offers. We saw Trevor Lawrence, arguably the hottest quarterback in the second half in the NFL. All these guys out there, all still relatively young. They offer everything from the rushing quarterback to more of the pocket passer, but all of them have big time upside. Pat, I want to start with you with this one. How do you rank these five guys? Because it feels like this is a pretty solid tier to live in. This is a pretty good group. If this is your consolation prize, I know there's questions when it comes to Fields and Lamar Jackson. They're kind of lingering here in the offseason. But with all five of them, the talent is clear. The age is certainly on their side for the most part, too. So how do you rank between these five?
Burrow, Fields, Herbert, and then Jackson and Lawrence. It's going to depend on what the Ravens do in the offseason, who the offensive coordinator is. Because you mentioned Herbert having a new one. Lamar Jackson has never really been a starting quarterback for anyone but Greg Roman, other than his rookie year when he started about half the season after they put him in for Joe Flacco. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that's the question. We don't know for sure that Jackson's going to be a Raven, although I'm pretty sure they're going to work something out with the contract eventually. But they're probably going to have to add two good receivers just to have an average wide receiver core. So, I mean, I might actually put Lawrence ahead of Lamar at this point.
Mm. Well, certainly, I think you have a little bit better idea of the continuity of that team. How about you, Erickson, where you're looking at these guys? Do you have Lamar as kind of the last of this group as well? Do you have him, you know, maybe in your mind going somewhere else and changing the game? How do you look through these five quarterbacks and rank them? Or does it not matter at the end of the day? You're just happy to get any of these five?
Yeah, so I have four of them in their own tier between Lamar, Joe Burrow, Justin Fields, and Justin Herbert. So I actually have Trevor Lawrence in the tier below because I still think that he has, like, we all can see the fantasy production, but it's still really, he hasn't really been an elite fantasy quarterback yet. Like, I really still want him to put it all together for one season. And I think that we may even be jumping the gun a little bit here, pushing him up into this next tier, because I think this is what we did with Justin Herbert last year. Like, Justin Herbert didn't really offer this supreme rushing upside, but again, he was QB3. And what happened? Some of his weapons went down and he was honestly one of the worst quarterbacks you could have drafted, him and Lamar Jackson. And Justin Herbert didn't even get hurt. It was because his weapons got hurt. And I brought this up on a couple different shows. The Jacksonville Jaguars were the healthiest offense in the NFL last year. That's not going to carry over from year to year. So weapons are going to go down for Trevor Lawrence next year, just based on the way that the math works out. And when guys go down, what's going to happen? Are we going to see these bad games for Trevor Lawrence, which we saw still plenty of, even in the first half against the Chargers? Like, he's still little, you know, Dr. Hyde, Mr. Jekyll a little bit with Trevor Lawrence.
You're close. You get it.
Did I reverse it?
Yeah. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's Mr. Hyde to you. And Dr. Jekyll. I didn't spend 6 years in evil medical school to be called Mr. All right. So clearly you guys have some strong opinions there about these quarterbacks and to make some good points as well. Another quarterback that's, you know, threatening potentially this top 10 over at fantasybros.com, and you could check out the rankings, obviously, fantasybros.com/rankings. The early rankings are up there already. When you're looking at Deshaun Watson, I know certainly the first few games were not spectacular, but then he started to find his feet a little bit again. Andrew, with a full regular theoretical offseason, regular training camp, going into 2023, shaking some more dust off, do you believe that Deshaun Watson is potentially that wild card guy that you could draft really late, and you might end up with a top three or four quarterback if things do break right for him?
100%. I think that he's probably going to be one of my highest drafted quarterbacks if he goes up in the QB10 range, because we've seen this guy. We know he has the talent to be the quarterback one overall. We know he runs. He was even running last year with the Browns, and he has weapons. Amari Cooper, David Njoku, Donovan Peoples-Jones is a nice toy as well. So I think that Deshaun Watson, you know, is someone that I'm probably going to be drafting a ton of, especially because his ADP is just going to be kept in check because of how bad he was when he came back. But it's kind of to be expected. Like, did we really expect him to light the world up on fire when every game he was playing in was like in freezing temperatures or like the wind was horrible? And you look at the Browns, they came in last place in their division, which means they're going to have an easy schedule. that they're going to play a bunch of other bad teams that came in last place in their division because they came in dead last in their own division. So with a favorable schedule, with good weapons, another year in the system, fully as the starter, I think that Deshaun Watson is probably going to be a value.
Pat, Deshaun Watson in 2018, QB5. In 2019, QB2. In 2020, QB6. That's pretty good. If you're getting that return at 10, sounds like a pretty good investment, but we all know the baggage he comes with. Plus, he's playing outdoors now in a different division as well. Something to also keep in mind. There's some moments out there in the elements where he did not look completely comfortable, just put it that way. Does any of that enter into your psyche, or are you kind of where Andrew is, like, hey, you get this guy at QB10, it's a great value. You could be getting a top three quarterback potentially in fantasy, but at 10.
So I'm not quite where Erickson is. I think he could be top five. I think if Watson, Hurts, Mahomes, Allen all play a full 17-game schedule, I think Watson is the fourth quarterback there no matter what. I don't think he outscores those other guys. I think they're just better. And, you know, we don't even know if he's going to be the same sort of aggressive runner. We didn't see that. I don't know. I guess we saw six or seven attempts rushing from him in most of his starts this year, but he wasn't that explosive as a runner, you know. But and now we've seen what the ceiling looks like in Houston when he was a perennial top four, top five guy. And, you know, now we've seen what the floor looks like. And I think we just saw the floor. So I'm betting on a result somewhere in between and probably closer to that previous ceiling, but I'm not sure he has top three potential. I'm not ready to get out over my skis with the, you know, prediction of what he could be if he does shake that rust off and everything falls into place.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Dave. Look, we've all been there. You've had an unexpected medical expense or you get into a fender bender, but you don't have the money to pay for it immediately. Now, Dave can help you get out of a pinch when you really need it. Dave is the banking app that can bring you up to $500 instantly with extra cash, and there's no interest, no late fees, or credit check. So download the Dave app from the App Store right now or go to dave.com/fantasypros. That's dave.com/fantasypros, and that's more money to fill your tank, get that car repaired, or catch up on your bills without having to wait for that next paycheck. Again, extra cash is what you need. Dave is the friend that you need to get it from. Download that Dave app again from the App Store right now or go to dave.com/fantasypros. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking services provided by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. dave.com/fantasypros. Get extra cash to help you extra quick. And now back to the action. All right, let's look at the back end here of QB1, because I know that's a lot of people's strategy. Yeah, I'm just going to wait late round QB, those single quarterback leagues. But then there's almost a fictitious situation here of this sense of safe when it comes to guys who are in this grouping, like Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott. I mean, Kirk Cousins threw 14 picks last year, and so did Dak Prescott. He did it in 11 games. Cousins did it in 16. So, Pat, you know, when you have those interception issues, as prolific as potentially some of the weapons are on both the Cowboys and the Vikings, you see those mistakes. And what that does is it stops drives, gives you negative points, and it stops you from getting more positive fantasy points. And that can really kill you in a certain week. So is that really a fallacy that guys like Cousins, guys like Dak are just safe pivots at the end? You should just wait. How do you feel about the back end of QB1 as opposed to being more aggressive and trying to make a play for one of the top guys?
I'm still pretty interested in Dak, and like interceptions were not really that big a problem for him earlier in his career. And I thought his interception rate was pretty good. Yeah, more than one a game as he had this year is obviously way too much. And I mean, Cousins is probably like the safest guy. We always talk about wide ranges of outcomes for players. I think the range of outcomes for Cousins is like as narrow as it gets. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't get any better than this. You know, maybe at some point there's a big drop off coming, but probably not yet. Like he just kind of is what he is. You know, in fantasy, we take the points. He's probably going to be a low end quarterback one. And, you know, and we don't have to worry about him not showing up in crunch time, as always happens to his real teams. But I'm more interested in Dak. Like, I think he could have a rebound year. I think the Cowboys are probably going to add another good receiver to pair with CeeDee Lamb. And you know, like I don't hold the interception thing against him that much. So I think Dak will be better next year.
Erickson, are you team Cousins, team Prescott, or team screw this? Let me take a quarterback earlier so I don't have to worry about it.
I think I'd still probably try to get one of these other earlier quarterbacks. I think they'd have more of the top tier upside. And I would say Dak, like from a skill set standpoint, has that upside. But I am more concerned with Mike McCarthy taking over as the OC, just because, like, we've seen this offense before with Rodgers, and, you know, Rodgers was like uber efficient in those years, but it's just like, it seemed like Rodgers would still like be a top five fantasy quarterback. And it's like, well, he could have been even better if Mike McCarthy was doing X, Y, or Z. So yeah, like, you know, we've seen offensive coordinators, if it's the pairing is not right, then it can be a disaster, you know, a la Mac Jones. You know, we saw it. And not saying that's going to happen in Dallas, because I think Dak's obviously a different quarterback. Mike McCarthy's way more, obviously has experience like being a play caller versus what was going on in New England. But Sam, like, Mike McCarthy wasn't like, it was all hunky dory with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers in that offensive system. So especially because of Kellen Moore, it was so upbeat. It was up tempo. It was like very fantasy friendly. And Mike McCarthy just screams, hey, we're going to run the ball a lot more. We're going to be way more balanced. And if Dak can be efficient, then okay, it doesn't really matter that they're throwing the ball not as much. But if he's not, then it's like, okay, like, where are these explosive points? Does Dallas's defense continue to be good? Is this a, hey, we want to win the game 21-17. We don't want to put up 40 points. So that's my concerns with Dak.
Well, certainly a return to efficiency would be good for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. A return to good health would be important for Tua Tagovailoa. He is at QB 11 right now, which I find a tad curious considering the enormous health risk that he brings into the 2023 fantasy season with the multiple concussions and what's gone on here. I understand the weapons are extremely tantalizing. I understand the upsides there. We've seen some huge games for him last year in this offense, but I understand you could take that risk in a single quarterback league, and Superflex, I think it's a risk I don't know if I want to take necessarily. Is that what it comes down to here, Andrew, in the single quarterback league? Hey, you can always pull a quarterback off the waiver wire or draft the second one later and take the shot with Tua. Do you think that's a good strategy in single quarterback leagues?
I think so. I think that his price is dictating enough of the, you know, injury risk ups or, you know, downside in his profile, because if you're drafting a quarterback 11, it's not like you're spending a round four, round five pick on a quarterback. Like, you're drafting Tua kind of in that like streaming tier, like, okay, like I can play Tua as long as he's healthy, because when he was healthy last year, he was really good. He has great weapons, and it's a good offensive scheme for him. And currently the Dolphins don't have a running back, so we don't really know what they're doing with their run game. So it is Tua in the passing game. And, you know, we don't know if he's going to get another concussion. I mean, just like we don't know if X quarterback is going to tear his ACL. Like, quarterbacks get hurt all the time. So just for Tua to be the one that is hyper-focused on his injury versus other quarterbacks getting hurt, I think that I'd be willing to take the discount and be like, hey, when he's healthy, I can play him. And if he obviously gets hurt, then I have to go to the waiver wire. But I don't feel like I spent too much to get him in the first place.
Pat, what about in super flex leagues? Is he a good return on investment at QB 11?
Boy, he is probably too risky in super flex leagues.
I agree.
I worry about that one concussion could possibly end his career. And I'm a little more willing. Erickson laid out a really good case for him in single quarterback, but in super flex, man, you have to factor in that risk. And I don't know if I'd be willing to pull the trigger.
Yeah. Let's talk about a guy who might not be getting enough respect. Daniel Jones finished as QB 7 overall, QB 10 in points per game. Not bad with Brian Daboll, first year with the new head coach. He is just QB 13 right now in the ranks, though. I mean, very little respect for Daniel Jones. I understand we're waiting to see, you know, how the offseason shakes out. I think we all think he's going to be back with the New York Giants. If he is indeed back with the Giants in this offense, and maybe they give him a little bit more help, Pat, is Daniel Jones kind of like the perfect late round QB to take, who, you know, maybe doesn't get enough respect because he's not the flashiness of a guy like a, you know, a Justin Fields or a Lamar Jackson or those types, but kind of, you know, sneaky rushing yards there in an offense that was better than I think people anticipated in 2022.
You know, not even sneaky rushing yardage. We know the value is going to be there and that he's going to add value with his legs. And I do agree with Erickson's premise that we are still value hunting at quarterback. Like, maybe we should be willing to dive into the pool of the elites. But if we don't get the elite at a value we like, I'm willing to wait. And Daniel Jones would be a target for sure if I waited, so long as he stays with Daboll. Like, I really want to see him stay with Brian Daboll. And I like that Brian Daboll sort of got rid of that self-destructive streak that Jones had, where he was just such a
turnover machine. Yeah.
Yes, fumbles and interception. And he really cut down on both. And I think, I can't remember if he finished with the league lead in lowest interception rate. but he was really close to it. I think he was leading.
He had five interceptions and just three lost fumbles last year, which is very different considering, you know, years past. It was not the case. And he finished right behind Jalen Hurts in rushing yards. He had 708. So it was Fields at the top, then Lamar, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and then Daniel Jones. So, I mean, it's kind of weird that he's not a QB1 on the board right now in ECR, Pat.
Yeah, he is for me. He's in the low end of the QB1 range and, you know, five interceptions and three fumbles. Joe, that used to be a month for Daniel Jones, maybe 3 weeks. But, you know, he really got that, his worst instincts under control. And I think it's pretty safe to say the Giants are going to add at wide receiver. They really have to, you know, I know you've got your guy, Isaiah Hodgins.
I do like
very, very nice late in the season, but
I agree. You do need more.
I think they're candidates to go wide receiver early in the draft.
Erickson, what are your thoughts on Daniel Jones? I know we're still waiting for clarity. Maybe that's part of what this ranking is, but to me, in a lot of ways, he seems like a lot safer investment in 2023 than Tua.
I mean, Brian Daboll is kind of doing what he did with Josh Allen. Like, we're kind of seeing the exact same type of process. Remember when Josh Allen, like, first kind of had his, you know, solid fantasy year, you look at who he was throwing to and it's like, who are these guys? Like, we don't know who these guys are, but he kept showing the spikes, the rushing production and these big throws and key moments. And the guys were stepping up randomly. And then they started to finally add in pieces. Like, they added John Brown, they added Cole Beasley, and then they went out and got Stephon Diggs. And what do you know? Josh Allen was a top five quarterback. Like, not to say that Daniel Jones is going to get there, but right now, the market is discounting him too much based on what he did last year and what he's done in the past. Like, even as a rookie, he flashed. It was really those really down years with the Giants when they had no offensive line and horrible coaching when he couldn't be trusted. And I think that's still that carryover effect that people are afraid to buy in. This happens all the time. There's a delay. You know, Jalen Hurts wasn't a top three quarterback in ECR last year because, oh, well, he's like, how good of a thrower really is he? You know, there's still question marks when it's like, guys, like, he's producing in fantasy. Like, he's checking off that box.
Wow, and when you give him a guy like A.J. Brown, I think that changes the calculus.
But like
somebody
Pat
of
said,
that caliber falls into the lap of the Giants, I think maybe, you know, there will at least be some people in the fantasy community that will start to get on board with Daniel Jones maybe earlier.
Right, and but still, because his name, the name cachet, Daniel Jones, and because he had a couple of years where he wasn't good, he's still not going to be accurately priced. But when the Giants go out and sign, oh, they landed DeAndre Hopkins. How high are we going to move Daniel Jones? Okay, we'll move him up one spot. But it's like, guys, like, he has to be a top eight quarterback if he has DeAndre Hopkins now. So I think that he's definitely in that tier where I think, over Tua, especially in a super flex format, we definitely go with Daniel Jones.
Let's take a quick break in the action and tell you about Thrive Fantasy. Prop up on Thrive Fantasy for the big game. Thrive Fantasy is the daily sports and esports app for player props. And with Thrive, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. To play, you'll first need to build your lineup of player props. Each prop is assigned a fantasy value for both the over and the under, based on how likely it is to hit the most props and rack up the points to win your share of the prize pool. And Thrive Fantasy has $100,000 guaranteed contest going. That's a $25 entry fee, and first place takes home $20,000. Thrive Fantasy offers the best user versus the house odds compared to the competition. So go over to Thrive Fantasy. Use the promo code FPROS250. That's FPROS250 when you sign up today, and you'll receive 100% instant first deposit match up to $250. Download the Thrive app on the App Store or Google Play Store, or visit the website at www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up with Thrive Fantasy and use that promo code FPROS250 when you do. And now back to the action. I completely don't understand the ranking of Kyler Murray right now. He was at 14. I see today he is at 15. I mean, this is a guy that, if everything goes well, is back on track in September, theoretically. Again, this is all theoretical. No setbacks, no issues, all that stuff. Not to mention we're going to have a new system that he's coming back to that he's not going to have time in to really work necessarily because he's going to be rehabbing. To me, this is a really dangerous game to be playing with Kyler Murray. I think this, you know, there will be people who want to take that shot with him as their second quarterback in Superflex for the upside. But then how much running do you expect him to do early in the season? Like, he might not look like Kyler Murray until maybe the second half, if at all, in 2023. Erickson, when you're looking at Kyler Murray, where does he in your ranks? I'm curious.
Yeah, so I have him kind of like right around ECR. I have him at QB 14, but it's really about the roster that you're building. like in a super flex format, I look at the quarterback two slot as someone that I can trust to put up production week in and week out, and not necessarily like my upside play. Like, I'm okay with Kirk Cousins as my QB too, because I know he's going to play all the games and he's going to put up points every single week. Whereas Kyler Murray is the complete opposite of that. Like, we don't know anything about what he's going to end up doing. And you're saying, okay, like, you could chase the upside with Kyler Murray. So, or okay, what about Trey Lance? Could I just chase the upside with Trey Lance instead? Like, he got hurt way earlier in the season than Kyler Murray. Obviously, Murray has done it before in the past, but Murray still has really never put together like one full season of like consistent production. It's always like, this half was good, this half was bad. This half was good, this half was bad. So just kind of looking at the optics of this current situation, it seems more likely than not that Kyler Murray's probably going to start off the season bad and then maybe turn it on during the second half of the year. So at that point, you could make a buy low opportunity, try to get Kyler Murray, because a guy coming off a knee injury, who we've seen him play like injured and not 100% before, and he doesn't run. And if he's not running, how is he going to look at a new offense that's not the air raid? Yeah, there. I mean, just talking about it right now, I feel like I want to move him down more in my rankings.
I want you to move him down. That's the whole purpose of this conversation. I think everybody should move him down. Pat, I'm looking at this rankings and I see names like Geno Smith, you know, guys like that who were ranked beneath him. I see Jared Goff, who's in an interesting Detroit Lions offense for me anyway. I even see Russell Wilson behind him right now. And we can all talk about, you know, the shortcomings of Russell Wilson. That's a whole series of programs we could do here on Fantasy Pros. But realistically speaking, I mean, I want to hit the ground running. I don't want to wait. And I feel like this Kyler Murray ranking right now is just too optimistic. How do you feel about it?
I'm pretty much right with ECR on that at the 13, 14 point. And he is behind guys like Daniel Jones, but a lot is going to depend on what sort of medical reports we get as we get closer to the season and whether he is going to be back closer to week one. I don't think we're going to get him in week one, but if it's maybe a couple weeks in, that's pretty positive. If it's not until Halloween, that's obviously problematic and people are going to be dropping him, but we have seen the upside with him. And, you know, I've had some teams with Kyler Murray and the dude puts up points, and sometimes it isn't always ugly. I mean, we saw a lot of games this past year where he would struggle in the first half and you'd be thinking, oh my gosh, he's got 3.5 points for me at halftime. And then he finishes with 23. You know, he just gets those points. Erickson said he's, you know, maybe not going to run when he comes back. I don't think he'll run as aggressively, but I think he'll still run. I think he's maybe a better passer than he gets credit for. Although I do want to see what that wide receiver group looks like if Hopkins leads as expected. And one thing that could be a positive for him, I think that defense is going to be terrible. And
that's true.
Yeah. They're going to be forced to throw a lot. So it could be a really potentially nice situation for him, assuming they give him enough weapons, assuming the medical reports are all good. And I think sometimes we all get caught up a little bit in drafting too much for week one. And like, if I get a major discount on Kyler, especially if I can get him as my quarterback two and then deploy him in the second half of the fantasy season behind whoever I draft ahead of him, like, you know, he could give you a nice little turbo boost in the second half of the season.
Yeah. The 49ers, they need a boost. They need something to go right at quarterback. That's for sure. This is kind of wide open. They say they're not bringing Jimmy G back. Brock Purdy's 2023 certainly looks tenuous at best. Trey Lance, small sample. I know we were all excited, but I think the blue might be off the rose here. Pat, San Francisco 49ers starting quarterback in 2023 is?
I'm going to say it's Trey Lance.
Okay.
I want it to be Trey Lance, but I honestly, I don't know what the 49ers want. I have a feeling they are going to call it an open competition between Lance and Purdy going into the season.
If but Purdy's healthy enough, depending on which surgery he has.
True. You know, we're going to assume the 4-month timetable here. I'll speculate on that, I guess, and say that he comes back in time. I think they'll say it's an open competition, but I have a feeling they will have their thumb on the scale for one guy or the other. And I'm not sure which one. You know, maybe Shanahan thinks Purdy is the guy to run that offense.
Like, well, maybe, I mean, you know, certainly looked like it at a certain point. I mean, Andrew, when you're looking at that, I know from a fantasy perspective, we want Trey Lance, but is Brock Purdy the better guy for the rest of the ancillary weapons of the 49ers for their fantasy value?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that having Purdy more accurate quarterback, I mean, just the guy is way more experienced. Like, Trey Lance just hasn't played that much football. Like, that's the biggest issue with him is like, he missed so much time in college because of COVID, and he didn't get to play a lot, and just not a lot of, I mean, the amount of dropbacks he just has in general is just so small compared to a guy like Purdy, 4-year starter in college, and played, I think he's already played more snaps than Trey Lance has played in the NFL. And Purdy was obviously only a starter the second half of the year for the 49ers. So I think, yeah, for the weapons wise, like your dynasty managers with Debo, with Kittle, with Ayuk, like you probably want Purdy or a veteran quarterback under center, not Trey Lance, because he just adds that element of rushing and a wild card where is this team going to run the ball more? Because it's so hard every season. I'm trying to go in to try to figure out what this 49ers offense is going to be, like making my targets and fades list. But then everything changes in week two because it's a different quarterback. And I'm like, well, was I right to fade Debo? I don't know, because the quarterback changed like 3 different times and it was good and bad. So I think the steady commodity in a Brock Purdy definitely is the best for the weapons. But Trey Lance, I think by himself, has the most fantasy appeal.
Can I ask you guys where you would let's say Lance wins the job and he's the week one starter. Where would you guys have him ranked? And I agree, like that's a big wild card. I think since he graduated high school, he's thrown fewer than 500 passes in college and pros combined.
I think he's still outside of QB1 for me, for sure. I think if he is indeed the starter day one, I think he's somewhere around 13, 14, because I would still take Daniel Jones over him. I just would. I know that sounds crazy and then sounds boring and vanilla, but I would take him. I'd take Cousins. I mean, Geno looked really good last year. I feel like Geno Smith just really has discovered himself finally in the right place with the right weapons at the right time. And I think he's got a lot to work with there. What do you think, Andrew?
I have Lance at 13. So yeah, right outside the QB. Yeah. Well, I mean, Lance is this weird guy because it's really like he's either going to be like a top 8 quarterback or just completely flame out. Like there's like no like in between, but that's why you have to rank him like kind of in the middle of that, because you can't rank him top 8 because he literally has done nothing yet. But we can't rank him too low because we know if he gets in there, he's healthy, he has all these weapons, it's like hard for him to actually fail. So he's definitely one of these guys we're going to talk about all offseason. Like, who are your most polarizing players? And Trey Lance is the headline.
All right, speaking of polarizing guys, let's talk about some of the musical chairs that's going to go on here in the NFL this offseason. Last year at this time, I was on the high horse talking about, you think you've seen quarterback movement? Not like this year. It's going to be absolutely insane. And it was. I was right. It was more quarterback movement than any other year in the NFL. And last season, more quarterbacks started for a team than any other previous season in the NFL. And that's including strike years where they had replacement players. Just let that sink in for a moment. I think it's going to be worse this year. Okay. And that being said, there's a lot of names floating around there. A lot of guys like Sam Darnold and Winston, Jared Stidham, Garoppolo, Wentz, Mike White. All of those guys have more fantasy points per game than Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't call it a day, Andrew, let's say he goes back to the Packers, or maybe he does become a New York Jet and I'm wrong and that actually happens. What do you think the value is of a guy like Aaron Rodgers? Seems like kind of the last man standing of that old guard with Tom Brady now retired, opening up, oh, by the way, another vacancy at the quarterback position in fantasy and reality. What do you think about Rodgers? Is he done?
I don't think Rodgers is done. I think that actually he's kind of an intriguing value because it's the first time you never have to actually pay for him as a top 12. Like last year, he was still going as a top 12 quarterback. And I was like, don't draft this guy. This makes literally no sense to draft him. But now, oh, he's outside the top 20. Like, okay, he's Aaron Rodgers. Like he's going to the Hall of Fame. And if he has weapons wherever he ends up going, like I'm going to buy that discount. Like we saw this with Tom Brady when he had that one bad year in New England and people were way off of Tom Brady. And it's like, oh, well, maybe it was really kind of the situation around him. It really wasn't that bad. And Rodgers just seems like a guy where he turns it on like when he feels like it. Like, I feel like he's not, he still is a good quarterback, in my opinion. I didn't see a ton of fall off with him, but it's just more of like, is he motivated today to like throw touchdown? And we saw when Christian Watson was in that offense, like we saw it start to cook. But it was when he didn't have Watson, it was when he was really bad during the first half of the season. The Packers offense overall was bad. So if he goes somewhere with comparable weapons, stays in Green Bay, has a healthy Christian Watson, some other healthy wide receivers around him, then I think Rodgers is like of the guys like around that area, Wilson, Stafford, Tannehill, like out in the 20 range. Like I'm just going to take the guy going to the Hall of Fame and Aaron Rodgers and kind of roll the dice.
Pat, let's say he does go to another team and it gets very exciting and everyone's very excited in the offseason. Is it the same trap we potentially run into where we had Russell Wilson go to the Denver Broncos last year, right? Let's drop Aaron Rodgers in with the Jets with Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, and maybe Breece Hall eventually when he's healthy. And now we're all excited about Aaron Rodgers and that price goes way up just like it did last year with Russell Wilson. Is that, you know, the sequel to the horror show that we should try to avoid in 23?
Probably. I think he would be the excitement about him going to the Jets would probably spike his value. And I kind of think it's still less than 50-50 does. I think the economic realities are sort of against him leaving the Packers. Yeah. You know, even though as a Packer fan, I wouldn't mind seeing us sort of rebuild at this point. But, you know, like, I don't think he has big.
The yardage. Cheese has gone bad for Pat Fitzmaurice, folks. Cheese has gone bad.
I don't think Rodgers is big yardage upside anymore. I think they're going to want to protect him with the running game wherever he goes. And he himself doesn't run that much anymore. But I think he could still give you a 35 touchdown season. The arm talent is still there. If you watch him play, I mean, like, maybe he throws a few more interceptions than he used to. But man, that guy can still throw into tight windows with the best of them. So I think mid-range QB1 to lower end, depending on where he goes, is appropriate.
All right. Let's talk about the Island of Misfit Toys for a second. Nobody wanted Geno Smith. Nobody wanted Jared Goff. Geno Smith, by the way, folks, in case you missed it, finished as QB6 last year. He's coming back to a team, and it probably seems like going to be the Seattle Seahawks with pretty much what he was working with last year, a full season of Ken Walker III, and Jared Goff coming into potentially the offense with the Detroit Lions, who are adding a full season of Jameson Williams, who, if you hadn't watched a lot of college football, let me tell you, it's a special talent, and the speed is incredible. So you're getting a lot of weapons here and a lot of value with Geno and Goff. Both had pretty good seasons. Pat, how do you look at these two going into 2023? Do you think that this was just a one-off season for these guys, or do you think what you saw last year is repeatable, or dare I say, maybe potentially something you could build on?
Maybe for Goff, something you could build on. And I love that they are retaining Ben Johnson as their offensive coordinator, because I love the direction of the offense. And you said it, adding Jameson and having him throwing to Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. It's going to be pretty special. And DJ Chark's still around too. So that is going to be a fun offense. Like, I think Goff, I've got him like QB 16. I think that's probably, you know, close to where his ADP is going to be in, you know, once we get to draft season. And I think he has low end QB 1 in his range of outcomes. Geno, I'm a little concerned about some statistical pullback, because he completed 69.8% of his passes this year. He led the league. He's going to have a hard time doing that again. But like, I still think we might get something, at least like a high end QB2 finish out of him. But he is going into his age 33 season. He has a little bit of rushing value, but I wouldn't even go so far as to call him a running quarterback. You know, but maybe he's not getting enough respect in ECR.
Since week 12, Geno Smith had at minimum 13 fantasy points, but pretty much hit around 20. More times than most guys. So you're looking, just very consistent it was throughout the season for Geno Smith. When you're looking at Smith and Goff, Andrew, how do you rank them in 2023?
So I have them ranked back to back. Let me just like check out my rankings here. Just pull them up. So yeah, I have Geno at 16 and Jared Goff at 17, and I have Kirk Cousins at 15, but if you're telling me I can get Geno Smith or Jared Goff like two rounds, three rounds after Kirk Cousins, then it's like, I'll just take those guys. Like, I see them in that big tier between QB 13 and QB 21, like right outside the QB 1 range. And if they're going late, then I will be happily drafting them as my QB 2 in a super flex or along those lines, even as like a low end QB 1, if I'm, you know, really punting off the position. Now, I think that Geno Smith, it reminds me a lot of Ryan Tannehill when he first was with the Titans. And he just like was like a monster in fantasy. And then like the next year would come along and then nobody would rank him as a QB1 because, oh, well, his passer rating is too high. Like, they don't throw the ball enough. But it's like, dude, he's throwing it to AJ Brown. Like, of course, like the play action numbers are off the charts. Like, it's just going to keep happening. And Ryan Tannehill just kept putting up numbers until we eventually were like, all right, we actually have to rank this guy as like a QB1, like here on out. So I think there's a little bit of delay here with the ADP, ECR and Geno Smith, because it's like, oh, it's Geno. Like, he's been in the league for so long. He hasn't been good. He had one good year. People don't want to fall for the trap, basically. People are afraid to, you know, be a sucker, essentially. Like, oh, I fell for Geno Smith. But we have one really, like, sample size of him in the Seahawks offense. And even dating back to his spot starts without Russell Wilson, he was accurate back then, too.
He was.
I think that this is a time to buy a guy like Geno Smith because the market is not adapting to this is our new reality. Like, we haven't seen anything else but Geno Smith be efficient in the Seahawks offense. Whereas with Jared Goff, we have seen peaks and valleys with him. Like, we saw him with the Rams be an elite passer with elite weapons. We also saw league defenses figure him out, and then he was useless. So I think there's a little more risk involved with Goff. That's why I have Geno Smith ranked one spot ahead of him. But the fact that Goff is retaining the same OC, he does get Jameson Williams now for a full season. He has weapons, great offensive line. And you figure if Jamal Williams doesn't score 17 rushing touchdowns again, it's not going to DeAndre Swift. So more passing touchdowns through Goff through the air. So, yeah, I think that both guys are really good values right now.
All right, let's play a fun game. I'm going to give you a fill in the blank. You fill in the blank and then tell me where you would then rank him as a quarterback in fantasy in 2023. Derek Carr, Andrew Erickson will wind up playing for the blank, and you will rank him where when that happens.
Derek Carr will end up playing with the New Orleans Saints, reuniting him with Dennis Allen, who drafted him back in 2014 with the Oakland Raiders, I think at the time. And I will rank him QB 20, right in the QB 2 range.
All right, Fitz, same question to you. Derek Carr will play for blank, and therefore you will rank him where in 2023?
Man, I kind of want to see him in Atlanta to facilitate Drake London and Kyle Pitts, but I kind of think it's going to be Tennessee. For some reason, I feel like Derek Carr's a Nashville guy, and I'm probably not going to like that and have him like QB 24.
Loves bachelorette parties. That's why I see him.
My goodness. Yeah, he does feel like a Nashville kind of guy, but I mean, Atlanta's not a bad spot. I wonder where Tampa's this team now. None of us were prepared to talk about what was going on. We got to start getting prepared because I don't think Kyle Trask is the answer. I really don't. All right, real quick, bonus stuff here, real quick at the end of the show. We got a lot of second-year quarterbacks. You know, we got Desmond Ridder, potentially. Maybe he's the quarterback. Oh, the Falcons, Sam Howell's going to get a long look, apparently. Kenny Pickett was starting most of the year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you have any hope for some of these second-year sophomore guys, Pat, to take a step forward in 23?
Not really Ridder. I don't think he's ever going to be a good enough NFL passer. Pickett, I'm still just concerned. I didn't like the draft profile, a one-year wonder in college who didn't pop until his fifth year as a senior. And, you know, like he's gritty, but I think he's going to be the kind of guy you're like, he's either a really good backup or someone you're always kind of looking to replace as the starter. I guess I still am holding out some hope for Sam Howell, because I liked his draft profile as the guy who really popped early in his career, like freshman year at North Carolina. He was pretty terrific and doing it against ACC talent. So we didn't really get enough of a read on him at the end of the season. I want to see more. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, we're dismissing him by week four or whatever next year. But I guess of those guys, I'm most optimistic about Howell, or at least most intrigued by Howell.
Erickson, any love for the sophomore class?
So I'm actually kind of interested in Kenny Pickett. If you look at what he did during the second half of the year, weeks 12 through 18, he was PFF's highest graded quarterback. And he was not just doing it through the air. He was doing it on the ground. He had 235 rushing yards. And basically what I was looking at when I was doing the best ball quarterback primer was looking at the quarterbacks that returned a lot of their value. And like the thresholds you want to hit in like a 17 game season are, does your quarterback rush for 250 yards and does he pass 550 times? Like that's kind of what you're looking for with some of these quarterbacks that really are difference makers. And Kenny Pickett, you know, had that rushing that he showed last year. Okay. So he kind of checks off that box, and the Steelers as a whole threw more than 550 times. Like it was right around that mark. If you combine, you know, Mitchell Trubisky starts as well. So if Pickett plays all the games, like he's hitting those thresholds of where you want to see quarterbacks take a step into year two. And you can't deny a lot of weapons are going to get drafted from the Steelers. Like we like a lot of these pieces in this offense. They're going to be drafted to some extent. So in the best ball format, like all these guys are going to go ahead and you can just like add Kenny Pickett in as a late stacking part. Like, oh, I drafted Deontay Johnson. I drafted Pickens. Oh, I'll just grab Kenny Pickett in the 18th round. And I saw growth from him in year two. So the only thing that I don't like about his situation is Matt Canada. I'm not like the huge fan of him as the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. Now that can change. Maybe they take away if things don't look great. So that's like one hesitation with him. But I think Kenny Pickett showed a decent amount in year one that I think he can take a step in year two. And I agree with Pat with Sam Howell. I think that I liked him a lot coming out of UNC. I thought that I was flabbergasted, honestly, when he fell so far in the draft. I was like, what did this guy do? Like did he like did he just like spit on people at the in his meetings? Like, what happened here? So I liked how
that's a bad technique. I should stop doing that, is what you're saying.
I
note
guess,
to self, stop spitting at meetings.
Don't spray it on the chalkboard. There you go. So I think Howell is a really good buy. I don't think enough people are realizing, like, the Washington Commanders, you know, they've said that they're content with him like being their starter going into next year. Now we'll see what they end up doing, but they've gone through this veteran carousel. I think they're like, you know what? We have a young guy that we like. That's not Taylor Heinicke, who we know just doesn't have the talent. He has the grit, just doesn't really have the talent. But Sam Howell, like Pat said, he showed the talent at UNC when he had weapons around him, when he had Dyami Brown, when he had these talented NFL caliber receivers, he delivered. And we saw him beat up on a Dallas defense pretty well. So I like Howell.
All right. Hopefully some of these rookies will hit the ground running this year, because we need help at the quarterback position in Superflex now. That is for sure. But great discussion. Certainly, if you want more in the QB situation, go to fantasypros.com/rankings. You can check out the early ECR at all the positions, including QB. And don't make a move on any wager before you go listen to the Betting Pros podcast. Again, bettingpros.com/podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your pods. We got the props. We got the breakdowns of the game. We got everything for Super Bowl 57 and a lot of great stuff on that prop bet cheat sheet as well. And that's at bettingpros.com. So go check that out. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Thrive Fantasy. Head over to thrivefantasy.com and sign up today and prop up. Sign up today at F Pros or download the Thrive Fantasy app from the App Store or Play Store. Again, use that promo code FPROS250 at Thrive Fantasy. And don't forget about Dave. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now or go to dave.com/fantasypros. That's dave.com/fantasypros. Dave, the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Erickson and Pat, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.